Well done. Laura, appreciate you being here with us today. I see you brought your bodyguards with you to protect you wherever you go. We are in Philippians chapter 4. If you'd like to turn there, Philippians chapter 4. We're talking about signs of spiritual life. That's what we've been talking about for the past few weeks, signs of spiritual life. And today, as last Sunday, we talked about this same subject, worn out knees, talking about prayer. And today it's talking about the same thing, but it's talking about living a peaceful life. And so let's look together in that chapter, Philippians 4 chapter and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, we pray that you would bless the reading to your word, of your word to our hearts, and help us, Lord, to take these next few moments and just listen for your voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't have to tell you today that our country is in dire need. Is that not true? We're hurting, and we're confused over the latest incident of a school shooting in Florida. Senseless. We just don't understand. I made the comment to Susie this morning as we passed a Mack Hike dealership there in Gluckstadt, the flags that were flying at half mast, and I said to her, our flags fly at half mast more anymore than they do at full mast. It seems like. You and I are amid such things that may not seem very peaceful, right? Our world and our country are certainly not peaceful. But the Bible speaks of a personal peace that's not dependent on what's happening in the world, praise God. It's the peace of God from the God of peace. Amen? The peace of God from the God of peace. That's what we need this morning, isn't it? Peace. Yet what we have is fear and anxiety about the state of our world. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the answer to fear and anxiety is a commitment to Jesus Christ. You know what that word commitment means? It means giving a little bit more. It means being all out, doesn't it? If I'm going to give you my commitment, you can depend on it. As much as it's within me, as much as humanly possible, if I say that I'm going to be committed to something, I'm going to give it my all, as much as I can. And I think that's what you would agree to, right? A commitment. And so we find this answer to our fears and anxieties by a commitment, an all-out for Jesus. Yet there's many Christians that wrestle with fear and anxiety. And it's not just a problem with us today. It happened back when Paul penned the words that we just read a few minutes ago. At that time, the city of Philippi was part of the Roman Empire, in which there was this emperor named Nero, and he was in charge. If you'll recall, Nero was killing Christians because of their belief and faith in Christ. Christians at that time needed to know how to trust God with every possible point of stress in their lives, and so do we, right? So let's think about that this morning. First off, talking about stress and anxiety, worry is the problem. Worry is the problem. Verse 6 said, "Do not be anxious about anything." The word anxious is a synonym for worry. So that verse is telling us not to worry about anything. You think we should do what the Bible tells us to do? Really? Now, I'm not saying that there's not times that when we worry, but because someone's not being very truthful if they say they never worry about anything, right? But the kind of worry verse 6 is talking about is that kind of worry that consumes us. It's something that's a burden on us continually. It's a worry that consumes us, and it's a worry that destroys us, right? A lot of times I worry about things that never come true, right? But that's what most of us worry about, isn't it? We worry about stuff that may or may not come true. But there's this worry that can just consume us, and that's all that we ever think about day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour. We wake up in the middle of the night and we're worried about the same thing, and we're worried when we wake up, and we're worried about all kinds of things, and it just consumes us. I mean, the state of our world alone is enough to worry us, let alone the day-to-day worries of life itself. But we've got to do something about the worry that consumes us, that destroys us. And so here's the medicine for you this morning. Prayer is the medicine. It's that simple. Prayer is the medicine. Verse 6 tells us not to worry about anything, but pray about everything. Pray about everything. Our scripture passage this morning, Paul uses 4 different words to describe the kind of prayer that will keep worry at bay. And the first one is the word prayer. I want to ask you this morning. Are you a person of prayer? Yeah, I know you're a Christian. I know you've trusted Jesus as Savior, but are you a man or a woman of prayer? Prayer is simply coming to God with words of reverence and respect. And we've got to remember that those words don't have to be specific words. It's not like we're saying a magic formula. And if we say it the right way, it almost sounds like hocus pocus, doesn't it? If we say it the right way, that everything's going to be okay. But if we don't say it the right way, if we don't use the right words, then it won't work. But that's not how it is it? Prayer is conversation with God about the things that mean something to you, right? Prayer is something that you get alone with God and you tell Him what you're worried about. Prayer. There's also a word here used called supplication. Supplication means simply to ask, to entreat. You're coming, when you pray, you're coming to someone who has everything and you're asking Him for what you need. Would you agree this morning that God has everything? He does, doesn't He? So if God has everything and I need something, then it makes sense to me. I need to go to God who has everything and ask Him to supply what I need, right? Isn't that simple? Isn't that kind of simple? It really is. Supplication means to ask from God what you need. Now there's another word here. It's called request. Well, that sounds similar to what we just said. Request. It's all used there in the scripture. But what is meant here is that we need to bring our request specifically to God. And we sometimes forget to pray specifically. We just say, well, God bless my day. Well, God bless my children, or God bless my family. Well, how do you want Him to bless your family? What need is there that you need for God to meet or to do something about? I'm not sure why we do that with God and we don't do that in any other area of life. For instance, if Susie calls me during the afternoon or something at the office, and of course anymore we text message each other, it's quicker, isn't it? I'd rather you send me a text message than call me, because if she calls me, we'll talk about all other things, and she knows I don't really have time for that, even though I'm glad she's contacted me, right? I'm glad to hear from Susie. But she doesn't just send a text to say, stop at the store on the way home. What was that? That bulb right there over my head. Over here. That bulb. Jeffy, come over here and change that bulb right now. Everybody's going to be thinking about that the whole time. They're going to be looking over there at that bulb. Which one's going to pop next? I'm changing all the light bulbs in my house, by the way, to LED. They're supposed to last like 12 years. You think they really last that long? Maybe. They're bright. They're nice. Aren't they nice? What were we talking about? We were talking about being specific, weren't we? We were talking about being specific. So Susie doesn't just text me and say, you know, stop at the store. Well, what do you want me to do when I get there? Just stop at the store, park, and then start the car back up and leave? No. Stop at the store and pick up whatever, milk or whatever, or something for dinner. That's usually what it is, isn't it? A lot of times. What are we going to eat for dinner? Isn't that the topic of the day? What are we going to have for lunch and what are we going to have for dinner? That's the topic. But when we pray, this word of request that is here is to be specific with God. Tell Him exactly what you're concerned about, what you need to happen that day. Sometimes, if you have a need that's immediate, you have to pray. You better pray specifically, right? If I've got something that's about to happen in the next 15 minutes, I'm not going to say, God bless my day. I'm going to say, God, this is what's going to happen here in a few minutes, and I would really like for you to do this and this and this, but hurry up, because it's going to happen in 15 minutes. Now, He doesn't always do exactly what I say, but He always does what's needed. Because you be specific with Him. Now, thanksgiving is that fourth word that's used to describe prayer. Notice there in verse 6, it says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. With what? Thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. When you pray, do it with a thankful heart. Thankfulness is that attitude of gratitude, you might say, that shows we are aware of just how much God has blessed us with. Grateful for the Lord. And staying in a mindset of thanksgiving, that puts our worries to bed. You ever realize that? If we're thankful for what God's done for us, it helps us to put those worries in proper perspective. What God has already provided for you and me is far beyond whatever that I can worry about in this life, right? Because that's how good God is. Worry's the problem, prayer's the medicine. Right thinking and right action is the therapy. To avoid worry, we must think proper thoughts. You know, you can drive yourself crazy with your mind, can't you? You start thinking about stuff and start dwelling on stuff that's not true, or worrying about something that's not going to happen anyway, that can wreck you. But in verses 8 and 9 of Philippians 4, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think. That's the key word in that verse. Think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. To think about these things means to, you might say, to ponder on them. Not just a passing thought, to ponder on something. When somebody at work brings me a problem, sometimes I'll look at it and I'll lay it down and I'll tell them, let me ponder on that for a little while. Well, that means I don't know what to do right now, so let me think about it, right? I'm going to ponder on it. Or I may hand it back to them and tell them to figure it out. Come back and let me know when you got figured out. But ponder or consider. It means to give value to these things, to think and consider these things are very important to help you with fear and anxiety and worry. For instance, the first one says, think about whatever is true. What causes a lot of worry is directed towards something that's unknown. It's what I've been saying earlier. You're worrying about something that may or may not happen. That's just plain goofy, isn't it? Worrying about something that you don't even know is going to take place. Think about whatever is true, and then think about whatever is honorable. There isn't too much honor in our society today, is there? So when he says to think about what is honorable, he's saying think about higher things. Think about things that are higher than the stuff you're seeing around you. Right thoughts, right? Then think about whatever is just. In other words, focus on the righteous things of God. Don't fill your mind with the garbage of the world. If we're going to have peace in the world, we can't fill our minds with the garbage of the world, can we? Turn the news off sometimes. Don't listen to the news all the time. Listen to the news, get informed, and then turn it off. There's all kinds of news channels, right, on TV that's 24 hours a day churning it out. And then you've got news channels on the radio and so forth that some people, that's all they listen to is the news. After I've heard what's going on, I'm going to move on because I don't want the junk in the world to pull me down, right? We don't need to be pulled down. Think about whatever is just. And think about whatever is pure. How many followers of Christ do I have in here today? I'm asking you that because I'm sure about everyone in here is. And the ones that didn't raise your hands, you're a bunch of heathen. Heathen. No. But we follow Christ. We follow what is pure. The world is brimming over with impurities. And so think on things that are pure, right? Think on things that are pure, the things of God and so forth, and you'll have peace, the Bible teaches. And then think about whatever is lovely. Lovely, as it's used here, just means things that are pleasing and orderly. Get our mind off the chaos that's in the world that you can't do anything about. That's what gets most of us, isn't it? We see this stuff on TV that happens, and we really would love to do something about it, or we want somebody to do something about it, but then we don't know what the answer is to that, do we? We don't know how to fix the problem. And all we hear is people bickering back and forth, this group and that group. Well, you need to get rid of the guns. No, it's the people problem. No, it's the this. No, it's the that. Back and forth. All these, everybody's got a thought, don't they? But while all this stuff is going on, what Christians ought to be doing is praying, because that's the only thing that's going to take care of the problem. The only thing that's going to take care of the problem is for more people to know Christ and more people to follow Christ, right? That's the answer. And then think about whatever is commendable. Commendable communication is words that are true and honest and fair, not gossip and lies, right? So these six things is a good guide, isn't it? To help us live a peaceful life. And I think we could all use that. It's impossible to live a peaceful life if we're filling our minds with lies and unrighteousness and ugliness and impurity and gossip and speculation and all these kinds of things. If we're not careful, our minds can be so filled with these things without even trying. It's kind of like osmosis. It just soaks in because we're in the world if we're not careful. So we've got to do more than just ignore the bad thoughts. We've got to be, what they say, proactive with it, right? We got to go on the offensive and seek to fill our minds with positive thoughts. Thoughts that meet the high standards that are on this list that we just looked at. And the best way to fill our minds with the right things is to stay in the Word of God, right? That's where I just got all that stuff from, is from the Bible. I mean, there's more ways to read the Bible than ever before, right? I was in a large church. Well, it's down at First Baptist in New Orleans, a pretty good-sized church. And when the preacher got up, he says, open your Bible or your iPhone or your pad or iPad or whatever you have God's Word on. There's so many different ways to read the Bible. And we've got all these ways to read the Bible, and I think the Bible gets read less. Don't you? And so there's really no excuse for a Christian not reading and studying the Bible. By the way, regular church attendance, gathering with fellow believers and worshiping God and studying His Word is a really good way to keep your mind right. People that say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't see the need to come to church, and I don't see the need for this, that, and the other. Well, you know, go ahead. But I'm just telling you this morning that the best way to keep your mind right is to get where the Word's at, right? Get where the Word's at. Get where you'll be challenged to do something about what you're reading and studying in the Word. You're not going to get that off by yourself, are you? You're just not. Church is vital. And so many are missing that point. Church is vital to your survival in this world. I believe that. Worry's the problem, prayer's the medicine, right thinking, right action's the therapy, and then God's peace is the promise. God has promised us three things if we'll commit ourselves to godly praying and thinking and living. First off, He's promised us His protection. Verse 7 said, God's peace will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great promise? God's peace will guard my heart and my mind. God's peace will be like a troop of soldiers camping around your heart and mind, keeping out the worrisome thoughts of the day, It's like a soldier marching back and forth, protecting your heart and mind from worry and anxiety. Isn't that great? That's great news. God has a garrison of soldiers to protect your heart and mind by giving us His peace. Well, God has also promised that He'll be with us. Verse 9 tells us, the God of peace will be with you. Do you think that's just a maybe or a might be with you? No, He says, God will be with you. I take that like it says, don't you? Some people try to twist the Word of God into making it say so many different things to fit however they want to believe. But that's pretty clear to me. The God of peace will be with you. He'll be with us if we practice what we've learned in Scripture. When you pray and think and behave in a godly fashion, God's presence will be in your life. And then God's promised His peace to us. God's peace, as the Scripture says there, it's a peace that passes all understanding. You can't figure out God's peace, right? It's a peace beyond our finite minds because He's infinite. In other words, it's impossible to explain. Did you ever ask somebody, Or somebody says to you even, how in the world did you get through that impossible situation that you just went through? Maybe something really bad happened in your life, or something bad happened in your family's life, and someone says, how did you get through that time in your life without losing your mind? And you say, I don't know. God's peace was in my heart. And God's peace is how I got through that time that would make most people lose their mind. God's peace. God's peace is not the world's peace, right? God's peace is not the world's peace. To the world, peace means the absence of trouble. To the Christian, peace means the presence of God no matter what the trouble is. Did you follow that? The God of peace. So when you have a worry problem, or medicine is the prayer, the therapy is right thinking and right living, and then comes the peace of God. That's what it is, isn't it? It's right there in the Scripture that we've read this morning and studied. Amen? Pray with me. Father, thank You for Your Word, and we pray, Lord, that You would help us to plant these words in our heart that will help us have Your peace so that we can withstand the unpeace and unrest that is around us, Lord. We are Your people, and we trust You, the God of peace, that You're going to bring us through anything and everything, Lord. So grateful for You. In Jesus' name, amen.